Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm Darren McBreen. It is Friday, May 31st, 2013. And here's a quick look at what's coming up.
Tonight, the war in Syria heats up. Assad boasts Russia will deliver anti-aircraft missiles to Syria as an American woman is killed today fighting with Al-Qaeda allied rebels. The same American-supported rebels caught planning a terrorist attack in Turkey with sarin gas. All that and more on tonight's InfoWars Nightly News.
Now we begin this evening with the conflict in Syria, as tensions throughout the region have escalated to the point of a possible preemptive attack by Israel. This in retaliation to the recent discovery that Russia will deliver anti-aircraft missiles to Syria, which could provoke the Israelis to launch a future strike against the weapons. And this from The Guardian. Syria's President Bashar al-Assad has said Russia will deliver anti-aircraft missiles to Syria, a claim likely to dramatically increase tensions in the region and which could provoke the Israelis to launch a future strike against the weapons. These are the long-range S-300 air defense rockets straight out of Moscow. Now, President Assad says that all of Syria's agreements with Russia will be implemented, and parts of them have already been implemented, indicating that perhaps, you know, some of the air defense rockets have already arrived in Syria. Meanwhile, senior Israeli figures signaled the possibility that Israel could in the future launch a preemptive attack on Syria with a view to destroying the S-300s, which Israel considers a threat. In fact, the Israeli defense minister said they could not afford to allow the rockets to become fully functional. And there is a great concern that the Russian delivery of rockets to Syria could start a destructive Syrian-Israeli war. And no doubt, you know, the United States and Russia could get involved. This could be the beginning of World War III. So, you know, a dangerous situation developing right now in Syria. And don't forget that, you know, it's U.S. intervention in the arming of Al-Qaeda militants in Syria that sparked the civil war and started this whole bloody mess to begin with. In fact, an American woman and two other Westerners who were killed while fighting on the side of FSA, that's Free Syrian Army rebels in Syria, were found with an al-Nusra flag. And that's the al-Qaeda group that killed the, you know, U.S. troops in Iraq. Now they are the primary fighting force in the country, backed by the United States and your tax dollars. How does that make you feel? You support al-Qaeda. The al-Nusra terrorist organization, well, they are now the leading fighting force in Syria. The FSA rebels are joining them. CNN is reporting that the American woman and the two Westerners that were killed, well, they were in possession of the al-Qaeda flag. 29 different FSA rebel outfits have pledged their allegiance to al-Qaeda. And they are out there ransacking Christian churches. They're burning U.S. and Israeli flags and singing songs that glorify Osama bin Laden. In fact, some of their units are even called Osama bin Laden brigades. And that, my friends, those are the terrorist organizations that are backed by, well, the Obama administration, NATO. They're supporting Syria. And these are bloodthirsty terrorists. And now they're even talking about supplying the rebels with heavy weaponry after Russia's decision to greenlight the, you know, the delivery of air defense systems to Assad. So what a mess. And to make matters worse, Al-Qaeda mercenaries in Syria, or should I say Al-Qaeda mercenaries, well, they've been caught with sarin gas. This, according to Turkish officials. This is concrete evidence that CIA mercenaries operating in Syria under the leadership of the al-Nusra Front, well, it's a terrorist group aligned with al-Qaeda, they are in possession of deadly sarin gas, and they plan to use it against the Syrian army. But you watch, in typical NATO-U.S. false flag fashion, the Assad regime is going to be blamed or accused of using chemical weapons against the so-called rebels. And Obama will finally have his excuse to intervene militarily. So there is a good chance that in the not-so-distant future, we might be seeing a false flag terror attack in Syria. And, well, we're going to switch gears. I don't know if you heard about this, but there was a teenager in Florida who was slammed to the ground and choked by the police for, well, apparently he was looking at them wrong, gave him a mean look, and he refused to obey their orders. Tremaine McMillian, that's the kid's name, he was slammed to the ground and put in a chokehold for the crime of giving Miami-Dade cops dehumanizing stares. The police also didn't care too much for his body language, and they, well, they needless to say, reacted violently when the 14-year-old boy failed to obey their commands. The boy's mother captured the incident on her cell phone.
Police confronted McMillian when they saw him slam another teen on the sand of Holover Beach on Memorial Day. Police say McMillian refused their repeated requests to take them to his parents, giving them dehumanizing stares and walking away before they had to restrain him.
Once he's approaching the roadway, they grab him, and then once his body language of stiffening up, closing the fist, flaring his hands, trying to pull away, well, now you're resisting an officer at that point. Of course, we have to neutralize the threat.
All right, so there you go. I guess he was messing with another kid before the police got involved, but he's 14 years old. You know, they arrested him. He was charged with resisting with violence, which is a felony, by the way, and they also got him for disorderly conduct. And, you know, this is yet another example of how the police interact with the public and how they react if the public doesn't obey orders. The kid was 14 years old. I think he was mad dogging the police. And if they, you know, if you don't obey their orders, if you're 14, you're going to get slammed to the ground and choked out. So anyway, now here's something interesting. The Illinois Agriculture Department illegally seized privately owned bees that just so happened to be resistant to GMO poison. Terrence Ingram, a world-renowned naturalist who once saved the bald eagle from being on the endangered species list, well, he was recently met by the Illinois Agriculture Department, which seized his privately owned bees. The department seized his bees that were resistant to GMO pesticides and killed the remaining healthy queen bees. Ingram had been researching the effects of Roundup, the Monsanto Frankenfood best-selling herbicide meant to make crops more resilient to pests. Roundup itself, well, you know, has a long list of negative effects, with the product even shown to kill human kidney cells.
Has no proof that they were nuisance hives. No proof at all. I had not had my day in court. The hearing wasn't until April 4th. They took the bees on March 14th. If they had good cause, yes. If they had given me a day in court to prove that they had good cause, yes, I'd say that's fine. But when they didn't give me a chance in court to prove it, and without notifying me, without a warrant, I feel my rights have been definitely violated.
But Monsanto, as you know, is above the law, at least here in the United States. So, well, they're even more powerful than the federal government. And as a result of the Monsanto Protection Act, well, there can be no legal action held against them. Now, this guy, Terrence Ingram, he's been raising bees for 58 years. He's been researching Roundup's effects on bees for over the past 15-plus years or so. And needless to say, the results of his research were not likely going to be a positive report on the benefits of GMO pesticides. And speaking of Satan's all-time favorite corporation, Monsanto Corporation, last week there was a worldwide march against Monsanto, one of the biggest unified global protests in history. And of course, it was ignored by the mainstream press, but lots of people attended nationwide and globally. Now, here's some footage sent in to us from the March Against Monsanto in Reno, Nevada. And reportedly, MSN said that only a dozen or so people showed up in Reno, but in fact, it was closer to 1,000. So, and I understand that there was a really big, there it is, look at that. That is Damn, that's like the biggest Infowars.com banner I've ever seen. Nice job, guys. I want to thank the Ty Robin. He sent that in, and he posted that march on YouTube. And those guys are out there promoting Infowars in places like Reno, Carson City, Lake Tahoe, and even Sacramento, California. So good job, guys. Way to spread the word. Well, apparently the Department of Justice is telling its managers not to use the words husband or wife because it might be considered hateful to homosexual employees. Here's a report from Gigi Urnetta.
The New World Order seems to be trampling over our rights yet again. Between the latest DOJ memo that is telling managers they should support LGBT functions, to the Russians being approached by the European Council and being told that they should support gay pride parades, there seems to be a worldwide bullying campaign against our core family values, all of that in the guise of gay rights. Pushing the LGBT agenda is a New World Order global attack that has gone from tolerance to coercion. Starting right here in the United States, the LGBT community makes up for only 4% of the population. Keeping that in perspective, the latest directive from the DOJ reveals how out of balance our society has become. According to the DOJ Pride Directive, silence means disapproval. And you shouldn't say husband or wife because it could offend the homosexuals in your office.
It says please use partner or significant other. So now husband and wife are offensive? Isn't this hate speech against heterosexuals? In London, they passed a law to remove husband and wife from official British documents, so don't be surprised if it happens in the United States. In France, they plan on removing mother and father from forms. Au revoir to mommy and daddy. It soon will be parent.
What happened to the First Amendment liberties of the people who are straight and Christian? Now, not that I'm agreeing with Putin, but he does say, quote, how can they demand that we introduce their standards, or maybe we should demand they introduce our standards in their country? He's sticking to what 90% of the people want, which is to keep core family values. The hypocritical DOJ directive, LGBT inclusion at work, the 7 habits of highly effective managers, needs a directive of inclusion for whistleblowers. Since the DOJ is so hot and heavy to make sure everybody feels included, we need a directive for whistleblowers. How about this? If an employee comes into your office, shuts the door, and says, I've been meaning to tell you this for a while. I'm a whistleblower. Be supportive and thankful that they trusted you. Ask them if they had been made to feel safe in the workplace. Let them know about DOJ Whistleblower Pride. Go to prisonplanet.tv and sign up. You can share your username and password with up to 10 people. I'm Gigi Urnetta with an InfoWars Nightly News Alert.
Hey, that's going to do it for the first half of our broadcast. Don't forget, next week is Bilderberg 2013. And this is where the global elite will once again meet secretly. Well, not so secretly anymore. They're going to privately discuss and create global policy and create plans to establish their long-awaited one-world government, the New World Order. Alex Jones and some of the crew, they're going to be traveling to England next week as InfoWars will be covering the Bilderberg event once again. You know, we're going to have live coverage and reports from Alex Jones and the crew all week long as we continue to expose the global elite and their plans to destroy humanity. So be sure to visit Infowars.com for all the details. We have a brand new website that's Infowars.com. There it is, /B. That'll take you to the official Bilderberg website. So for all the details and upcoming events, it's going to be right there on the special section dedicated entirely to Bilderberg 2013. And don't forget, ProPure has a 15% off during the entire Bilderberg meeting next week. So it's a ProPeer Bilderberg special. You can get it right there at InfoWarsShop.com. Hey, that's going to do it for the first half of our broadcast. We're going to take a break. When we come back, We're going to show an interview. This is a classic interview with investigative journalist Jim Tucker. Of course, this is a guy who exposed the Bilderberg Group for the first time. Jim Tucker, when we come back right after this, stick around.
As we saw in Katrina, and as we are watching now in New York and New Jersey, the federal government can't and won't help you in a crisis. FEMA ran out of water and MREs in days. Electricity is still off to over 1 million people. The Red Cross, who is quick to beg for money, is now slow to react. Don't put it off any longer. Get prepared today. The InfoWars Shop is the largest distributor of ProPure water filter systems. And now, get 15% off your ProPure order with the promo code WATER15. While you're on InfoWarsShop.com, check out these other great preparedness items. The Aquapod Kit lets you store up to 65 gallons of water in your bathtub. Pocket Socket provides you with manual electricity for small electronics like your cell phone. The Life Straw is great for your bug-out bag. And check out our complete line of Interfood products for great-tasting and nutritionally dense foods that have a great shelf life. If you are looking to secure your home in a crisis, you can order Strategic Relocations the film, a great companion to the book Strategic Relocations 3rd Edition and The Secure Home by Joel Skousen. When the time to perform arrives, the time to prepare has already passed. Get prepared now, so if a crisis strikes your home, you and your family will be secure. Go to InfoWarsShop.com and don't forget the promo code WATER15.
I'm Darren McBreen, and these are some of the new items that are available now at InfoWarsShop.com. Alert the public to Obama's blatant abuse of power with the new Obama t-shirt. Obama's Joker face on the front and come and take it on the back. It's time to publicly call him out for what he is, a tyrant. Defend the Second Amendment with our top seller come and take it t-shirts. And look at that, women's cut tank tops and t-shirts now available. Nice hat. Plus the Don't Tread on Me flag. And now you can become a micro distributor of the InfoWars magazine. Plus get your own copy delivered right to your door each and every month. And if you're tired like I am of you and your family being exposed to polluted drinking water, get the Pro One High Performance Water Filter. It gets rid of all pathogenic bacteria, cysts, fluoride, heavy metals, and numerous other contaminants. So join the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
My name is Jim Tucker. We're at St. Marie, Switzerland, for the Bilderberg meeting. Well, this year, Bilderberg is strongly committed to expanding the war with the invasion of Egypt so they could have a big war. They use the term big war a lot in the Middle East because that will generate profits. They want them all involved in a big war.
Right.
They want a war throughout the Middle East with the exception of Israel. And as I said, there's big profits to be made from war. Because when you go to war, you're making tanks, airplanes, trucks, jeeps, and all kinds of war materials, which is profitable in its own way. And then the war profiteering kicks in, as it has in all of our wars, where other big bucks are made on top of the big bucks. Yes, as I've said before, the page one story in the Financial Times, 1 hour speech delivered by Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, calling for bigger NATO involvement in combat missions, more NATO support for the wars in the Middle East. very rough-sounding one-hour speech. It appeared on page one of the Financial Times, and Financial Times has been attending Bilderberg meetings for decades, and so they keep the promises. So they identified, they said he simply spoke to a private group of luminaries or something to that effect. I've got the clipping here. It did not say Bilderberg. He delivered the speech to a private meeting of financial leaders or consultants or some such variation without identifying as Bilderberg. Well, my source said that was exactly the speech he gave because he was inside there listening to it, maybe got a text. And he said you can depend on use quotes around wherever he is quoted directly. You can quote him directly. The rest of the story is complete and accurate also. So go ahead and have fun. They intended that to be message get out in a way that would not be traced back to Bilderberg. It was kind of silly for them to think they could do that. Every American, whether he's a civilian shyster or public official, is committing a criminal act by simply being here under the Logan Act. The Logan Act passed shortly after our country was established, 1787, I believe. And it makes it a crime for public officials to meet with private citizens to make public policy behind closed doors. They can do it in the open, where everybody can observe and question, but they cannot do it behind closed doors. The apologists who say, well, that Logan Act was so long ago. Two answers. First of all, if it was passed by the Congress and never repealed, it is still the law of the land. And to the apologists who worry about it being so old, as if that mattered, I'll point out to them that it's been amended and expanded and strengthened several times by Congress over the years, including deep into the 20th century, they've added and expanded the Logan Act. So they're criminals when they attend, and they should be prosecuted.
Is Robert Gates himself worried about that?
I don't think they're worried at all, because nobody ever challenges them except for, well, they're worried a little bit more now because of the great Ron Paul in Congress.
Jim, about the wars, so many countries in the Middle East, dozens of them, have had protests and riots and coups and destabilization. Has Bilderberg been behind most or all of that, or what do you know?
It has been promoted, and of course, the President of the United States is always controlled by Bilderberg, and they have members of high officials of the White House attending the meetings for the purpose of getting their instructions. So, yes, there's a big involvement. We've seen some dramatic departures, such as Bill Clinton, who attended Bilderberg as the obscure governor of Arkansas, is elected president the following year. George H.W. Bush had been a trilateral commission participant, and he had promised in his campaign for election not to raise taxes. He said he's in favor of the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, which has first been proposed by my publisher and has since become law. Then Bilderberg ordered him to raise taxes. So he raised taxes and lost the election for breaking a very solemn campaign pledge. But Bill Clinton was right there. It is under Bill Clinton that NATO became the standing army of the world of the United Nations. He invaded Kosovo. Clinton was the most bloody-handed draft dodger to ever disgrace the White House with his presence. And I've mentioned his good points. I've not gotten critical yet. So we attacked Kosovo, killed thousands of people. We have zero casualties in that brief war. Americans love a brief war when we don't have any casualties. The reason we didn't have casualties is our planes flew so high out of range of the missiles on the ground that they could not target their bombs. So we bombed a bridge, killing a lot of school children on a school bus on the bridge. We bombed a McDonald's and killed some more. A lot of innocent dead civilians, little children, mamas, daddies. And to go to bed each night with that blood on your hands must... I don't see how they can do it, except the Bilderberg rationale for wars is we need the population control. They're now yelling that we'll run out of Earth in 30 years. We've got to control the population. Well, one way to control the population is for young men to die in wars.
Is Henry Kissinger ashamed or afraid that he has to skirt every country he visits and sneakily enter and exit all the time, given his age and acumen?
I suspect with his ego, he's proud of it. But he's a very affected character. One time a few years ago, I walked up to him at some kind of reception and said, Dr. Kissinger, you're at the Bilderberg meeting, name, the time, space, so forth. And this long, white-haired guy said this to you, but I couldn't quite hear your answer. He said, that was a private meeting. Then he called himself, have to affect the German accent, that was a private meeting. Too late, though, I caught him on that. He's been here since he was 14 years old, fled Germany when the Third Reich was being established. His brother, whom I've never met, but people who know him, says his brother speaks English like a native, but he affects that accent for some ego reason, and he's always been Dr. Kissinger. Well, David Rockefeller also has an economic doctorate from one of those snob schools, but he's Mr. Rockefeller. He's not Dr. Rockefeller.
Jim, can you talk about how long you've been covering Bilderberg, and what do you think about all the young patriots who are now confronting them wherever they go?
It's wonderful. I first started chasing them in 1975. Well, physically in about 1980. We had reporters working on it before, but I wasn't satisfied there with their work, so I did it myself. I signed myself to cover Bilderberg. Yes, it's gotten better every year because when I first started covering those kids, I'd be the only guy there. They always had a low-key story in the smallest local newspaper, preferably a weekly, in whatever town they were in, to explain that these nice guys are meeting, called to let the public understand that even though this place is sealed off by armed guards, it's only good people doing good work. When Bilderberg has a meeting, there's a big publicized economic meeting of some sort, with an easy plane ride, helicopter ride. So that's their cover story. They were in town that weekend for this big meeting of financial ministers. And then they came home. Well, before coming home, they go to Bilderberg on Friday night and leave on Monday morning. But that covers their butts as far as being out of Washington or out of Paris or whatever. I think it was at Helsinki. We had learned about the Bilderberg location quite early that year in November. Our subscribers in Europe, and there's very few of them, comfortably cost so much to subscribe with the air mail and all the postage rates, long-distance postage rates. So there's a tendency for 10 people or 20 people to contribute to the subscription and then share the paper. And one of them wrote back, this is before the age of the internet, it was a matter of just regular mail service, a letter saying, should we alert the local media? Well, I kicked myself in the butt 15 times. I should have thought about that years ago. And the answer was yes. So it was a lot of fun. We got to the airport in Copenhagen, or I think it was, and they're getting off the airplane to jump in there. Long black limousines with the police escorts for an ego trip to the resort about 20 miles away. And some are take the helicopter. But as they get off the plane to head for their limousines or helicopters, they're greeted by a throng of reporters, print reporters and broadcasters, lights flashing. And to see the terror in their eyes was just a lot of fun, how shocked they were to confront the media that way. And then it started making bigger in the newspapers. I mean, the top paper in Paris, the top papers in London had heavy and good stories, raising the question, why? Why are there these distinguished people having such a secret meeting? So in every year since then, our lasses in the circulation department would print out a list of all of our subscribers within a 200-mile radius, and they get a letter asking them to alert the local media about Bilderberg. And every year it gets bigger and better. More young people are becoming aware, older patriots too.
Can you also talk about two things that happened this year at the same time? The host country challenged their right to meet in the way they do, and yesterday they filmed actual members walking outside the grounds, which you say has never happened. Can you talk about those two points?
Yes, the walking outside the grounds, I think, for the first time ever. Always before, once they get behind the sawhorses and armed guards, they stay inside. They walk around on some grounds that are far, far away, but none where you could actually speak to them and they could hear you. I think they probably decide that we need to reassure, since we've had all this horrible publicity in big newspapers and little newspapers and big and little, small broadcasters giving such heavy attention, we better make some kind of a public relations move. So we'll walk to this place and we'll smile at them. If they ask a question, if we could give them a sweetheart answer, we'll respond graciously. If not, we will be unable to hear the question and be sorry, maybe a little wave. So I think that was another case of them being forced to do something they would not normally do, to confront the fact that there's such increasing public awareness that a lot of them are in great political danger or even being Bilderberg. Already we've seen leading members of Congress used to always attend the Speaker of the House, representatives, ranking senators would attend. Now they don't dare because they get mail from their own constituents. Their own voters in their own congressional district are in their home state for the senators, saying if you do business with these criminals anymore, we'll never vote for you again. We'll vote for anybody else. And they've been politically frightened out of the ballgame. They're already long gone. And more, I think more are feeling very hesitant, very eager to cover their butts when they come to Bilderberg, like Secretary of Defense not being on the list when the Secretary of Defense always attends Bilderberg from the United States, along with the Secretary of Treasury, who's here, and Secretary of Commerce, other high officials in the administration. So I'll tell you, I had the pleasure of talking to Kenneth Clark one time when he was in Washington. He thought he was going to hold a press conference to discuss, I forgot, some international issue. I'm there and I asked the first question. I said, Mr. Clark, you attended the Bilderberg meeting. I had notes in front of me, named the dates, the exact location, and the exact town and country on these dates. Can you tell us what transpired? The other reporters from New York Times, of course, never heard of Bilderberg, but they're getting real interested in this. Kenneth Clark's face goes blank. He fumbles around a little bit. Then he started answering questions. I remember him saying, yes, we should have a world government. We will have, this goes back a few years, of course, when they were real optimistic. We will have a complete European Union, a common currency. Then we'll have the American Union, and your common currency will be the Mario. Then we'll have the Asian Pacific Union, and they'll have a common currency. And our grandchildren are going to laugh about the days we had all these petty little currencies. We have to have a world government so you have peace and all that jazz.
Must be been a fleeting visit for whoever is in that helicopter. The conference zone is started officially this morning.